Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins, and today I'm joined by Blake, who's an expert at helping people free themselves from limiting beliefs. We welcome you to pour yourself a glass and join the conversation. Hi, Blake. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I am well. I am excited to talk to you today. But before we get going, I have a couple of really important questions to ask you.
Yeah.
First, what's in your glass?
Water.
Yes, I love it. Got to keep the hydration up. That's so important. Just a little pineapple spritz. Okay. Nothing crazy. And so, Blake, do you happen to have a cheers today?
Yeah. Cheers to everyone freeing themselves from limitations so that they can live their best life.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers.
So you mentioned limitations, and you're an expert on limiting beliefs. I just want to kind of level set for the audience. What exactly are limiting beliefs, and how are they usually formed?
So we all have lots of beliefs about everything, right? Mm-hmm. And typically we hold our beliefs as the truth. Mm-hmm. Most beliefs are not the truth. So we have beliefs that help us. They're like very useful. And we have beliefs that limit us. So typically negative beliefs about ourselves, relationships, money, life, work, people, safety, right? Those can limit us. So the most common belief that people have is I'm not good enough. And people typically are not aware that they have these beliefs. They're subconscious. And people will even be like, no, I know that I'm good enough because, you know, I have this job and I make this money and, you know, my spouse loves me. But they have to talk themselves out of it. And if you have to talk yourself out of it, then odds are on some level you believe it. And the example I always use is like, if you think that you're attractive, do you wake up in the morning and say affirmations? Do you have sticky notes on your refrigerator and your mirror saying you're attractive? No, it's redundant. You don't have to talk yourself into it because you already believe it. So anytime you have to talk yourself into or out of something on some level, that belief is there. So how these beliefs show up is beliefs cause our patterns, whether they're behavioral or emotional. So an emotional pattern could be anxiety or depression, right? Things that we feel. And then a behavioral pattern could be procrastination or alcoholism or like anything, right? Anything, even people that like workaholics, right? They achieve too much. It's like they can never achieve enough. They're always chasing that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so you find the beliefs that create this pattern. And by eliminating those beliefs, that pattern goes away. And how this is so different from a lot of other modalities is there's no coping. There's no skills. There's no techniques. There's no integration. Like you literally get rid of the beliefs that cause the pattern and the pattern disappears. I had a client who had like severe anxiety. Friends, couldn't date. She was in college. She couldn't go to parties. Like even leaving her dorm room to go to class was just like, God, there's people. And we worked on these beliefs. And she still emails me and she's got a boyfriend and she's got friends and she goes out and like her anxiety is gone. So it's a really unique process and it really has profound results.
So this sounds very intense in the sense that it sounds like we have these emotional and behavioral patterns that we've set. Are they always tied to limiting beliefs or is there anything else they're tied to? Or is it just most of the time limiting beliefs?
I mean, beliefs are behind our behaviors, our emotions, our thoughts, right? And we think that it's the event that causes our feelings. You made me angry, right? It's her fault that she said this and now I'm upset. But nobody can actually make you feel anything, right? So if you have the belief I'm powerless and someone tells you you can't do that, and then you're like, yeah, because I'm powerless, you're going to get angry, right? Yeah. So if you eliminate the belief I'm powerless, right? And what makes me powerful is having control or having money or having people think well of me. If you get rid of those and someone says you can't do this, you might not like it, but you'd be like, okay, well, what's the best thing for me to do in this situation, right? And you can respond. But when we have beliefs, we react, right? And in a state of reactivity, nothing good happens.
Oh, I believe that.
and so that's, you know, by getting rid of these beliefs, you're giving yourself space and you're removing the things that are limiting you. And now you get to choose, what do I want to do? Right? If you're an overachiever and you have the belief I'm not worthy, and what makes me worthy is achieving. When your son has that baseball game that you said, I'm going to go this Saturday, I'm going to be there, and a work meeting pops up, you don't have a choice. You have to achieve because you feel like your worth depends on it. This isn't conscious, right? Mm-hmm. You get rid of that belief. And now in that moment, you can go, okay, well, can I reschedule this meeting? Is it really important? Like, but you have a choice, right? Like, I had a client, she was like, oh, I can't see you during the week. And I was like, I don't work weekends. I'm sorry. That's just my boundary. Yeah. Like, that's my family time. That's my ocean time. Like, I don't do it. I will be so flexible with you. But, you know, if we got to wait a week or two, I don't work weekends. But if I had felt like my worth was dependent upon making money or helping people, something, I would have been like, okay, let's do it. It's no longer a choice.
Okay. So I love that.
It gives you freedom is really what it does.
So, you know, with these particular beliefs, it's very clear that we are not permanently bound to them, to these limiting beliefs. But you said that there's actually a structure where we can face them. Can you give us a few details about that kind of structure?
Yeah, the process is, it's really interesting. And it's funny when people do it for the first time, they're like, that's so logical. Like, that was so simple, you know? It's, you know, it's a like relive trauma and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to forgive anybody. It's just, it's reframing. This is the short answer. There's more to it, right? But we think that we saw our belief in the world, right? My mom criticized me and my dad yelled at me and no matter what I did, they were mad, right? And so I gave those events the meaning, well, I guess I'm just not good enough or nothing I do is good enough. And then we go through life like that belief is the truth. And everywhere we go, we see examples. Oh, I got fired. See, it's because I'm not good enough. I didn't get invited to that party. See, it's because I'm not good enough. My boyfriend broke up with me. See, it's good. Right? It's like this self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. And what you realize is as a child, all you actually saw were two people criticizing you.
Oh, yeah.
And you gave those events that meaning. And then it did become your truth. That's been your truth your whole life. But what else could it mean? Could mean my parents had unreasonable expectations. It could mean nothing was good enough for them and it had nothing to do with me. It could mean they actually thought I was good enough and that's why they were pushing me to do better, because if I really wasn't good enough, why bother criticizing me? Right?
Yeah. It
could mean in that house, nobody was good enough because there was so much dysfunction in that house, but that doesn't mean I won't be good enough anywhere else. Maybe I'm not good enough at some things, but not everything. Maybe as a child, right? And you realize that there's a million possible alternative interpretations for those events. And what you said was the truth. It's just one possible explanation. And then you go into this, we kind of go back in time and you change the feeling. So there's different ways, depending on who the client is, what they need, right? But it's like, you know, imagine you go back in time and, you know, your Auntie Blake lived next door and you went over to Auntie Blake and she's like, you know, your parents are kind of tough. You know, it's like, no matter how much I trim my bushes, it's just not enough for them. And no matter how far I park my car over, it's still too close to their driveway. And they're just, they just have unreasonable expectations of people, but you're amazing, you know? And you go home and imagine your parents criticize you and you go, oh my gosh, this is them. They're angry. They don't feel good enough. They're projecting this on me. And how do you feel? And all of a sudden the feeling shifts. And sometimes people are like, depending on the situation, sometimes people feel compassion. They're like, God, my parents had like so much trauma that like they never healed from. They don't know how to parent. They don't know how to love me because nobody ever showed them what that looks like. Or they feel angry. They're like, yeah, that sucks that you treat me that way. Whatever it is, it's different. It no longer feels like I'm not good enough. And when you do that, you realize that just because you felt I'm not good enough, that doesn't prove the belief is true. The feelings didn't come from the events. They came from the meanings you gave the events. That's Cliff Notes Theater, okay? There's some more steps, but those are the two main things, right? You realize you never saw it in the world. Like, we can see things in that room. I can see your dad's face. I can see the clothes he's wearing. I can see the refrigerator and what's hanging on the walls. but you can't see I'm not good enough. It doesn't actually exist in the world. And you realize that for all these years, that belief has been in your head, not in the world. And there's this moment, whether through the seeing or the feeling or like one of the steps after, where you literally see the person's energy shift. And then you're like, oh, there it is. It's gone. And it's really cool because in the beginning, you find the belief and you have the client say it. You say, how does that feel? And where do you feel that, right? Because people feel, oh God, that's like this tightness in my chest. And some people just like the tears come instantly. They're like, oh my God, I want to cry. Or that, you know, a sinking in my belly. Or I feel my pressure in my head. And you go through the process, say it now. And there's nothing. They're like, it doesn't even make sense. It's like saying a monkey, like there just doesn't resonate at all. I don't feel my body. It doesn't, it just sounds silly to say. And so you actually clear it and you can watch the moment where it breaks.
So this is absolutely amazing. So first, by realizing that it's not real in the world, Cliff Notes version, obviously. And then facing it and reframing the meaning you gave to it. That seems like it can change things for people. But before it can actually change things for them, I guess, how do they even know right now is the right time to face that limiting belief and to, you know, kind of see the world through a different lens?
I love that you said that, because that's like how I explain it to people. I'm like, it's like wearing I'm not good enough glasses. And like, that's how you see the world.
Yeah.
Anytime you're ready to change your life, that's the perfect time. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be massive, right? It's like, is there something you're doing that you don't want to be doing? Is there something that you're not doing that you want to be doing? Is there something that you're feeling that's, you know, like even just self-doubt or that like negative self-talk that's always like that critical voice? You know, people have come to me and I've been working this job and I hate it and I can't quit. And I'm like, great. What would you have to believe? You can't do something you love and make money. Amazing. Let's eliminate that. Right.
Yeah.
You know, people that are like, well, I'm not going to leave this relationship because relationships don't work. This is going to get, you know, I'm not lovable. So of course I'm going to, right. And you just, you just get rid of them and you just watch like people leave jobs, people leave toxic relationships, people stop screaming at their kids. People just, you just start showing up differently. And it's so natural. Like it's so organic that a lot of like every session, because I see people once a week, typically. And I'm like, tell me about your week. And I'm like, oh, you know, it was good and this and that. And some people are very conscious. They're like, oh my God, this was different and this, and I had this and I didn't feel this. And my husband said this and I didn't get triggered. And my kids yelled at me. And I was like, is there anything else you have to say? You know? And a lot of people are like, yeah, no, it's fine. And I'm like, well, did you feel angry at work? And they were like, oh no. And I'm like, oh, did you have road rage when you were driving to work every day? And they were like, oh no. And I'm like, did you get really mad at your kid when he forgot to wash his dish? And she's like, no. And it is, the change is just so automatic that sometimes people aren't even aware that it's happening.
Oh, that's gorgeous. So it can reach this really organic kind of natural flowing place, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, when people decide to actually kind of do this work of freeing themselves from limiting beliefs, or some of the things they can expect to experience emotionally going through the beginning of the process?
It really, it just varies so much. You know, I have clients that cry and I have clients that just are like elated and they're just like, I just feel so much lighter and this is just amazing. And I have a lot of clients that have like, I've tried everything and nothing's really done it, you know? So I've had shifts and this, and I read this book and I took this workshop and I tried the breath work and things have helped, but I still have this, you know? And I have clients who are like, oh, I've worked on that. I don't feel that anymore. And I'm like, well, say it. And they're like, and I'm like, it's still there a little bit. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, great. Let's not there at all. Right. So everyone's going to go through the process differently. But like I said, you don't have to relive trauma. You don't have to forgive people. There's nothing you have to do. You just have to be willing to look at what's not working. What are the beliefs under that? And where do they come from? You know, and I always tell my clients, like, it's not a blame game. Our parents did the best job that they could with the skills and tools that they had. They had their own traumas. They had their own, like, they didn't go to parenting school, right? Like,
no, they did not.
They're just doing the best they can with what they have, which often is not a lot. You know, there's a lot of unhappy people out there. And that's all, right? And if you hate them, that's fine. And if you love them and you don't want to make them wrong, that's fine. Just be willing to look at what the source of the belief is. And like, I create a really, and I've been told this, which is how I know it's like in all the testimonials, people just say you create a really safe, non-judgmental space, you know? Oh. So it's like people can just share anything. And I'm like, okay, like let's work with it. Let's go, you know? And because even shame, right? Mm-hmm. Shame and embarrassment, it's all beliefs. If you believe I'm bad, you're going to feel shame. And there's a lot of people with a lot of religious trauma that were raised to believe they're bad. And if you believe that, you're going to feel shame a lot, right? Yeah. If you believe that, you know, what makes me good enough is having other people think well of me, you're going to spend your life pleasing people and you don't even know what you want because you're so busy making other people happy because you feel like that's what makes you okay. Mm-hmm. Again, these things aren't conscious. So I had this woman, she was like, late 60s. And she was like still scared of her mother.
Oh.
She was like, she didn't like going out because if someone asked her to do something, she couldn't say no. And it was just her life was all about everybody else. And she had such a profound shift. She gets on the screen and I was like, you look amazing. Like you look younger and you look lighter and your energy, you're sitting up, like everything about you. And then I was like, but there's something physical too. Like you look... She was like, I got my haircut. And I was like, it looks great. She was like, I went in to get my haircut for the first time in whatever it was, you know, 65 years. And I told the guy what kind of haircut.
Oh my gosh.
Like, went out to lunch with my mom and I ordered a drink and I ordered what I wanted and not what she told me I should have or what she ordered. And she said something and I was like, Mom, I disagree with that. And like, it was just, it's so cool to like watch the shifts because not only do we nullify triggers, right? And you're able to see things differently because you're taking off those glasses. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Right. But, and this isn't really hippie. This is actually like scientific. We are energy.
Yes. Right?
Everything is energy. We are vibration. And as you eliminate beliefs, you start vibrating at a different frequency. Yep. And when you change your frequency, change your vibration, you're literally creating space for new things to show up in the world. So
that's
people,
kind of positive.
Yeah, like people that they're like, you know, money doesn't come to me and money's hard to get. And you have to work really hard for money. And right. That vibration is literally keeping money. It's not their fault, right? But with that vibration, you don't have the space for the money to come in. And I had a client who had this belief and she eliminated all these beliefs and she went to sell her apartment and she was like, I'm going to get this much for it. And the realtor was like, no, you're not. we're not putting it up for that. And she's like, we are. And I'm going to get it. And they did. And she did. And 3 months ago, she would have been like, yeah, whatever, just whatever you can get. Just take anything, you know?
Oh, my gosh. That seems like such amazing positive shifts for people are possible. But it also something is coming to mind here. So changing limiting beliefs, it's a massive shift for you as a person. But how can that affect other relationships you're in?
Great question. There's a couple points here. The first one is when you nullify triggers, right? For example, client was like, my kids scream at me or they, my kids do this thing. That means they don't respect me. And so she got angry and she yelled at them. When we eliminated whatever the belief was, people don't respect me or I'm not important or people don't listen. I can't remember specifically. And then it was like, oh my God, I've created such a safe space for my children that they can express themselves, that they know how they feel and they're able to express it because they know that I love them unconditionally and they feel safe in this house. I don't want to yell at you now. Let's have a conversation. Tell me why you're really frustrated. Let's talk about it. Like, what do you need? How can I support you? Like, I got it. You really want to play video games right now and you can't. There's no screens. So what else can we do? Like, what do you need from me? How can I help you? Right? And that's going to change your child's energy because instead of screaming at them and now they're defensive and angry, they're getting support, they're getting love, they're getting attention, and that's going to change that interaction, right? So that's one example. Another one is for like a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. That person's going to do what they're going to do. You will stop being so reactive, number one, right? Those triggers won't trigger you anymore. And number two, you might get to a place where you say, I actually don't want this person in my life anymore.
Oh, wow.
Because if all of a sudden you're worthy and you're deserving and you're lovable and you're important and your needs and wants are important, then maybe some of the relationships that you're in are not ones that you want to be in. Like when I underwent my like huge transformation and like I was a single mom, I was an alcoholic, I was a bartender, I was just like, I attracted nothing but like alcoholic men who like didn't want children. No. And I had a child. So like this, it was just, it was crazy. And when I really started to work on myself and I got sober and I got out of the restaurant industry, like my whole friend group shifted because the people that I wanted to be around and the people that started to show up in my life were on a different path and they wanted different things. And that doesn't mean that you can't keep friends. Like, I mean, it's whatever works for you. And some people look at their partner and they're like, hey, let's sit down, right? I'm changing. I'm growing. Like, this isn't working for me. Are you willing to work on yourself? Are you willing to work on our relationship? What does that look like? This is what I need. These are my needs that aren't getting met. What do you need? How can I be there for you? And it opens up a conversation that before is just resistance and reactivity and defensiveness, right? But when you're able to relax that reactivity and respond, you're able to communicate and start having conversations and looking at things.
Wow. So you're giving us this glimpse into a whole new way of living, and you've given us bits and pieces of it. But if you could sketch it out for everyone, what is the possibility of the way life can look like when you do the work to shift your beliefs?
I like to tell people, like, who were you before the world told you who you should be?
Ooh.
and let's get you there. Right? Like, how do you, what's in the way of you living your dream life? Mm-hmm. And let's remove that, you know? And yes, we do still live in reality. Like, we are going to still have bosses that treat us certain ways. And like, my son's father is still in my life, right? No matter how much of an alcoholic or whatever his downfalls are, he's going to be in my life forever because we share a child, right?
Yeah.
I can't change him. Mm-hmm. But I've learned so many things about how I can set boundaries, how I cannot be triggered by things he says and does, because I now realize it's his pain and it's got nothing to do with me. And when he says mean things about me, that's like, it's him projecting. It doesn't hurt me anymore. I'm just like, wow, that's so sad that like you're in that much pain, you know, like. Yeah. You know, and when he disappoints my child and when he does the things, it's like, I just want to be there for my kid. I'm going to be there to support him. Because if I just get angry at his dad, he's not getting support. He's not getting what he needs. My son's not getting what he needs, right? It's taking away. And it's like me holding on to anger is lowering my vibration. And now I'm carrying this negativity around and I'm spreading that negativity. Because every time you tell somebody a story, you're feeding that negativity. Right? So by me working on myself, I'm able to change how I feel, how I act, the boundaries I set. And this is the crazy part. When you really do a lot of the work, you give space for people to show up differently. That doesn't mean that they always will. But if you're like, this guy is this and he always this and he always that, that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to see.
Yeah.
And if you're like, you know, the Ram Dass, who's like, I love listening to Ram Dass. He's amazing. And he says, we would never go into the forest and say, gosh, what a beautiful birch tree. If only it was more like that pine tree. Just like, yeah, birch tree, all its glory. And it's going to do birch tree things. But we do that with people.
Yeah.
Gosh, if only this person was more like that person. That's an unreasonable expectation. And I'm setting myself up for disappointment. He's not disappointing me. I'm disappointing myself because I'm expecting him to be someone he's not. Right. And so when you give people that space to like, okay, well, he says he's going to be there. I'm going to make backup plans because I know his history is he won't, but he might. And I'm going to give him that. I have plans. My son's going to get where he needs to go. Instead of saying, of course, he's not going to show up. Well, then he's not. But maybe he will. And if he does, that'll be great. And when you give people that space, a lot of the time they'll surprise you, you know?
I love that there's this opportunity for people to show up differently for you. And there's also space for you to show up differently for yourself.
Yes.
And that sounds absolutely like a space that we all should strive for or could strive for. Yeah. So I do have one more question for you. Where can people find you and more about this method?
Okay. So my website is blakelefko.com, B-L-A-K-E-L-E-F as in Frank, K-O-E.com. And the only thing you can do on the website, there's a little stuff to read, but is schedule a free 30-minute consultation. And it's free. There's no credit cards. There's no nothing. There's no commitment. Just have a chat and tell me where you're at, what you're struggling with. If you have any questions or concerns, or you're like, I don't buy it, or anything, right? Like, it's just 30 minutes for us to talk. And I can answer your questions and tell you how I can help you, give you any more information that you need, testimonials, you know, if you want to talk to somebody. Like, I'm so flexible. Like, you know, I love this work. And I want people to benefit from it.
Sounds like 30 minutes very well spent.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, my dad kind of downloaded this process. He was on an airplane.
Oh.
He was really depressed, and he was working a job that he was not. He was a consultant. He was going into company and telling them how to run better so that they could run better. Doing what they hired him to do. And they would be like, oh my God, yes, this is amazing. And then they didn't do it.
No.
And he's going, why is it that people know what they need to do, but they don't do it, right? I'm going to diet more. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to not get angry. I'm going to drink less. Whatever the thing is, right? I'm going to be nicer. I'm going to be less shy. And then when push comes to shove, we just are stuck in our old patterns. And so he's thinking about it, and he's like, gosh, you know, it's got to be our beliefs. And this was, gosh, like almost 40 years ago, 35 years ago. Oh. So it was really before like beliefs were a thing and talked about. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of downloaded this process, and he went home and he showed my mom, and she was like, this is why I've been put on this earth, like this process. And she's been working with clients for 35 years. And I grew up in a house with two people that were just all about personal growth and self-help. And so I did what any teenage daughter would do, and I rebelled. And I was like, cool, I'm like, not work with myself at all, and I'm going to just be a hedonist, which was super fun. I traveled the world, and I like did amazing things. But at one point, I ended up as an alcoholic in a very unsustainable life. You know
what I mean? Understandable.
The hedonism was fun until it wasn't. And then that's I kind of got to the place where I was like, okay. It was literally one morning. Like, I woke up after Halloween weekend, and I had just like partied all weekend. I took my son trick or treating, and I had blacked out. And I remember the end of the night. It was just like so much. And I was like, what? What am I doing? Like, my son deserves so much better. And I deserve so much better. And I had just broken up with a guy I'd been with for like forever, and like just didn't want a family. And I was like, but I have a kid. And it was crazy. And I was like, what? Like, what happened? How did I get here? And I was just like, no more, you know, like no more. And so I found my way back to the process, like very organically. It wasn't spoon fed. I didn't grow up, you know, just being like, oh, this is my dad said. And, you know, I really had to like go out and do my life and my journey to get back there to do my work. And I was so fortunate that I had this process at my disposal. And as I started to work on myself and eliminate beliefs that weren't serving me, I realized that like for 30 years I was in the restaurant industry. And for anyone that's been in the restaurant industry, you know how hard it is to get out, because it's great hours and it's great money and you have so much flexibility. And I just didn't see an exit strategy. And when I really started to do this work, I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. Like, I want to help people experience the freedom that I do. Like, I want people to wake up every day and be like, my life is amazing and I'm so excited to live it. You know, like, I want people to feel that. And so I took all the trainings And I got certified and I started my own little business. I work with the LEFCO Institute a lot. But I also just, you know, have my little thing. And it's just, it's been so rewarding to experience those shifts and to know they're possible. And then to be able to help other people and to be a testament to like you can, it's possible. Like I did and other people have. And it's amazing. You know, I've just created such this like beautiful life for myself where I just wake up every day and I'm just like, this is like, I'm just the luckiest person in the world, you know?
You get to be healed and you get to help other people heal. There's what's better than that?
Yeah. And I live in Hawaii with like my son and my boyfriend, like my two favorite people, my two favorite humans I get to like live with and spend my time with. And I live in Hawaii and I get to go foiling in the ocean every day and I get to play. And it's just like,
oh my gosh. Now that is definitely a life worth living. Blake, thank you so much for your time today and for your wisdom and for letting us know about the LEFCO method and more about, you know, how we can find you. I hope people take all the knowledge that you've given us today and grow from it. And I hope people reach out to you as well. Because like I said, 30 minutes well spent. And I would love, if I may, to be able to offer one more cheers, if we could.
Please.
I think we should cheers to changing our lens on the truth and becoming who we want to be before the world told us who to be.
Cheers, Jay.
Cheers.
Thank you so much, Blake,
for your time.
This was a lovely conversation.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you so much for everyone that tuned in and listened. This has been Cheers to This.